Good morning, I'm Renee Montaigne. The price of bullets has shot up. That's due to soaring demand from two wars and for the bullets' main ingredients, lead and copper. It's hitting recreational shooting ranges hard and also some police departments. The cost of the popular Smith & Wesson bullets has gone up 73% since 2005, so much that the Richmond Times-Dispatch reports one police department in Virginia is cutting back on target practice. It's Morning Edition.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jean Cochran. Hillary Clinton likes to point out superdelegates can change their minds. Following her big win in Puerto Rico yesterday, she's hoping to peel away support from party leaders already committed to Barack Obama and from those still undecided. Clinton gained 38 of the 55 delegates at stake in the Puerto Rico contest, but Obama moved even closer to winning enough delegates to clinch the nomination, picking up 17. He's now 47 delegates short. The final two primaries are tomorrow in South Dakota and Montana, with 31 delegates at stake. The blast at the Danish embassy in Islamabad today appears to have been a car bomb. Four people were killed, dozens more wounded. The BBC's Barbara Plett is near the scene.
There has been quite a lot of damage to the wall of the embassy, but more damage to the office building next door. And we're told anecdotally that many of the injured come from the office building next door as well, most of them wounded by flying glass. The casualty figures vary, but what we hear is that all of them are Pakistani, including a number of security guards. And there is a lot of debris, a lot of chaos around the site. Police have now begun to cordon it off, especially the area where the bomb went off. And we're told that it was probably a car bomb. There is a deep crater, and about 20 feet away is the engine of a car, which suggests that that was propelled there by the force of the blast.
Denmark has had threats on its embassy since a cartoon depicting the Prophet Muhammad was reprinted in Danish newspapers. Syria has agreed to allow UN inspectors into the country this month to check on allegations of illegal nuclear activity. The head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Mohammed Al-Baradei, says his experts will go to Syria later this month. They want to look at a site that Israeli warplanes destroyed last fall. The Senate today is taking up landmark climate legislation. It would require major reductions in carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas emissions from factories, power plants, refineries, and vehicles. NPR's Craig Windham has more.
The bill, which is co-sponsored by Republican John Warner of Virginia and Independent Democrat Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut, would require an 18% cut in emissions by 2020 and a nearly 70% reduction by mid-century. The measure would create a pollution allowance trading system to help companies meet the new standards. The bill has the support of 13 unions, the U.S. Conference of Mayors, and corporations such as General Electric. But opponents claim the emission caps would put new upward pressure on energy prices. The legislation is expected to face an uphill battle in the Senate, with even longer odds in the House. But Democratic Senator Byron Dorgan of North Dakota told the Washington Post the Senate's consideration of the bill is in some ways a dress rehearsal for next year, when the new Congress is likely to revisit the issue. Craig Windham, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News. Yves Saint Laurent was one of the most influential and enduring designers of the 20th century. He was known for empowering women through his fashion. Saint Laurent died yesterday at his home in Paris after a year-long battle with brain cancer. He was 71. The Discovery is closing in on the International Space Station this morning. Docking is scheduled for this afternoon. Pat Duggins of member station WMFE reports.
The Discovery crew spent the day setting up the tools they'll need for docking with the space station. For the five rookies, this first day in orbit also represented their first big opportunity to look out the window to see parts of Earth. For veteran astronaut Mike Fossum, that included a view of his alma mater, Texas A&M. Fossum says he's most looking forward to delivering the 32,000-pound Japanese science module, but the repair parts for the space station's toilet have been getting a lot of attention in the press.
Well, I could make a joke about it, but the fact is that a toilet is a Russian hardware, and we're bringing up parts from Russia and be handing that over to the space station crew. I guess if they need a hand bending some wrenches, we may help out, but mostly that won't be our main business.
Fossum and crewmate Ron Guerin head out on the first spacewalk of the mission on Tuesday after the shuttle docks. For NPR News, I'm Pat Duggins in Orlando.
President Bush will pay tribute today to a soldier who sacrificed himself to save his comrades in Iraq. In December of 2006, Army Private Ross McGinnis' unit was patrolling Baghdad when an insurgent lobbed a grenade into his Humvee. McGinnis shouted a warning to the four others inside and jumped down onto the grenade, taking the full force of the blast. Private McGinnis was 19. He was from Pennsylvania. I'm Jean Cochran, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live a healthy, productive life. Details are at gatesfoundation.org.
It's 5:35, time for the weather on AM 580, and right now we have a temperature of 66 degrees on Friends Plaza. Out at Willard Airport this morning, it's a little cooler, 61 degrees, dew point 57, relative humidity 87%, a southeast wind at 5 miles per hour, and the pressure 29.97 inches and holding steady. We will have some sunshine this morning, and as we go through the afternoon, we'll see some of those pop-up showers and thunderstorms once again.